Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth interactive study of the Word of God. Have you ever wondered what it really means to live by the Spirit? We're going to study that important topic today in our series on the gospel in Galatians. And I'm excited because we've not only got a great team here in the studio, but one of our teams, Stephanie's going to teach today. I know it's going to be a life-changing study. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org. You know, it brings us encouragement to see the way the Holy Spirit is impacting your life through a study of God's Word. Here's a note from Daniel in Ghana. Now, we have some Ghanaians on our team. I don't know if we have anyone today from Ghana, right? But Daniel writes and he says, I love Hope Sabbath School. It's interactive and it helps me to contribute when we have a discussion at my church. With the help of Hope Sabbath School, I now understand the true meaning and purpose of Bible study at church. Amen. It's interactive, isn't it? I want to share our insights. The impact it has on my life is so great. Well, Daniel, if we did the program today just for you and for your family and friends there on the Kumasi campus in Ghana, you're studying, it would be worth it. And we're glad that you're sharing God's Word with those there too. Jerry writes from Illinois in the United States. We've got a few folks from the United States here. Jerry says, I'm an elder and a Sabbath School teacher, and I use the outline from Hope Sabbath School, which helps me to teach my lesson effectively. What Jerry has discovered is you can go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess. You can download the same outline that Stephanie will be teaching from today. It's the same outline that we all have. And you can start an interactive Bible study in your community. So I would encourage you to do that. Jerry's downloading it. He says, I'm inspired by the radiant smiles that light up the faces of the Hope Sabbath School team. Thank you, Nicole, for smiling. You know, body language is important, isn't it? If you say God loves you and you're frowning, they don't believe you.
That's true.
Yeah, the joy of the Lord in our hearts. So you. Thank you for noticing. He also says, I'm really inspired by the way that Jason reads the scripture. Now, we all know Jason. Yes. And I have to tell you, he reads it like it really matters, doesn't he? Yes. So we've been challenged today by Jira to keep doing that. I've now adopted the same way, inspired by the Holy Spirit, when I read the Word of God. Amen. Well, Jerry, that I will pass that message on to Jason. He'll be encouraged to know that he's certainly not trying to bring any attention to himself, but to let the Word of God be heard. One last note from Prakash. Actually, I've got two more. Prakash was born in India, but he lives in the UK. In fact, he lives in my hometown where I was born, Bristol. He says, greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Greetings.
I'm following Hope Sabbath School every week, and it helps me contribute to my Sabbath School class as a teacher. Well, we're getting more teachers, aren't we? I enjoy Hope Sabbath School, and I know most of you by name. Wow. I wish if anyone from your class would like to be my friend in Jesus, well, I'd like to learn more. Well, I want to tell you, we all want to be your friends, but if we sent emails to everybody that wrote to us, it would be a full-time job. But Prakash, thanks for writing to us from Bristol in the UK, and thanks for shining for Jesus, sharing the Word of God. That's two teachers so far, right? Here's a third email from Edson and Giselle in South Korea. No, they're not originally from South Korea, but they're teaching there. And Edson writes and says, my wife and I have been watching Hope Sabbath School for a few months now. This quarter, my wife was asked to be a Sabbath School teacher in her group, and I recommended to her to watch your program as a great supplement for her class. Thank you for Hope Sabbath School. Keep doing this program till Jesus comes. Amen?
Amen.
Well, it is our prayer that Jesus would come soon. We've recorded about 450 hours of programming on Hope Sabbath School. And I'm always excited when people go to our website, watch the archives, because there's so much in-depth interactive study of the Word of God there. In fact, if you missed anything in this series on the gospel in Galatians, great series pointing us to Jesus as our all-sufficient Savior. And then living in the Spirit, we're living by the Spirit, as we're going to talk about today. Go to our website and you can watch the entire series right there. While you're at the website, download the MP3 file for our theme song, the sheet music. It's called I Have Been Crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It touches my heart every time I sing it. I want to invite you to sing it with us right now. You know, I hope I never get used to singing that song, that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that amazing? Just put your name there and go, hallelujah. He loved me and gave himself for me. And Stephanie, I know as we talk about living by the Spirit, we're living because of all that Jesus has done for us, and he's living in us.
Amen.
Let's study that together.
Let's do that. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for having given your life for us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us to guide us and direct us as we study what it means to live by your Spirit. May our lives be changed as a result of this study. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So in this series, we have talked about freedom in Christ. That was one of our studies in this series. Today, we're going to take it a little further, and we're going to talk about what it means to live by the Spirit and the impact that it will have, not only in my life, but as an outreach to those around me, because we're not walking this life alone, right? So let's take a look. We're going to pick up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Looking at walking in the Spirit, and Poya, if you would start our study off with that verse and see what we can learn.
Sure. I'm reading from the New King James Version, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
All right. So is that a command or is it a promise? Or is it both?
I think it's both.
Okay. Why do you think it's both?
Because this is something that God desires of us, but at the same time, it's saying, if you walk in the Spirit, then you will not, you know, want to do these things of the flesh. It's kind of like, follow this, and this is what will happen. It's a promise.
Yes. Anyone else who wanted to share? Yes, Andre.
It connotates that there's power that comes when we decide, when we decide to do this, then there's power that comes upon us to do even more than that, greater than we could do on our own.
So that would be the promise, right?
Yes.
The power that he's supplying.
Yes.
He's giving us a directive, walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he provides the power to do
you
that.
You know, I think the answer depends on your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a connection with Jesus, it just looks like a command and maybe an impossible command. if you have the connection with Jesus, you do see it as a promise.
Yes.
Because the Bible says if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. So I think it's a wonderful thing to say, well, really? That can happen in my life because of a living connection with Jesus.
Yes, Amen. Thank you for sharing that. It does make a difference what the relationship is, doesn't it? So when we think about walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit, what do you think that looks like? Let's go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. And Gary, if you would read that for us, Romans chapter 13 and looking at verse 13, let's see what it looks like there to walk in this by the Spirit.
Okay, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Romans 13, verse 13. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy.
And then in verse 14, it also talks about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the same as us putting on Christ or putting on that new man, that new creation that Derek spoke about. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. So we're not to live in envy and strife, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and then 17 as well. Who would has that? Jonathan, would you read that for us?
Sure.
Thank you.
We're reading from the New Living Translation. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace.
And would you read verse 17 for me as well?
All right, verse 17. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused.
Mm-hmm. So what have we learned so far that this walking in the Spirit, what does that look like? What have we learned so far? Long suffering? Mm-hmm. What else? Meekness, lowliness,
one for another.
Patience, mm-hmm.
unity.
It's different
yes.
from the way we used to live. Mm-hmm. It's easy to compare and say, well, I'm not like that. But it's actually different from the way we used to live.
Yes. And that was found in verse 17, right?
I see it in the whole theme. But,
in the whole theme.
But even in the promise, do this and you won't fulfill. Whatever the desires of my flesh are in the old way of living are going to be superseded by the Spirit in me.
Wow, that's a promise. We're talking about power here, friends. Yes, Gary.
I was just going to add, it looks like living or walking like Jesus walked while he was here on earth. He had that unity, that peace, that self-control. I think walking in the Spirit, you're going to look like Jesus walking in the Bible, how he lived his life.
Very good. Jonathan.
Yeah, it struck me how it seems like so many of the things are in a sense of community, how all the different things are. It's like make allowance for each other, and it's about love. It's about all these things. It's not an individual walk. It's this picture of God working in us and through us, plural, and that's important.
Yes, and one more testimony.
And in the first verse where it says, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Mm-hmm. So we're called to something. There is a vocation, a spiritual place that the Lord is guiding us to. And he's saying, here, follow these steps. Follow me.
Yes.
Follow me.
Joy, would you read a verse for us in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10? Actually, two verses there. And it's also talking about walking worthy as well, as similar to what we're seeing here. And then once you're finished reading those verses, I have a few questions for you. One being, for all of us.
Okay.
One being, is there any potential to return to the lust of the flesh? Go ahead,
so
Joy.
So reading Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10 from the King James Version. And it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So we heard in the first verse that we read that walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof. Is it possible to return to the lust of the flesh?
Yes.
What do you think?
I see it as every time they're talking here is just saying more like they're walking. So it's easy to walk backwards, you know. It's easy to trip if you're not watching where you're going. It's easy to fall to the side. Makes me think, yes, you can easily turn around or look back and go the other direction instead of walking forward and letting the Spirit of God lead you.
It's a choice we make, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
It's a choice.
Jamie.
I once heard someone put it this way. We can't eat for tomorrow. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. We have to ask for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit every day to stay connected so that we can, you know, resist the natural tendencies of our, you know, our sinful body.
Wow. Yes. Good word. Andre, you wanted to say?
I was just going with what Jamie said. We have a natural tendency because of the way we come up in this world, And we sometimes forget that choice is the monkey wrench of the universe. And so the Bible encourages us in the book of Matthew, the exact scripture, someone else will know the exact scripture, that talks about the narrow path and the broad path. And sometimes we think that on the narrow path, there is no, there's like, you don't see any temptation. But as you're on that path, temptation can be off to the left and to the right. But we keep our mind stayed on God, and we're able to, you know, traverse that path. But At any moment, we lose sight. Like Peter, when he was walking on the water, he stopped looking at Christ and he began to sink. We too can return to the lust of the flesh by being distracted.
Which I think is what Jamie was saying. It's keeping our eyes focused on who? The one that has the power to bring us freedom, joy.
Yeah, Stephanie, it almost seems as though there's a recipe here. He's to pray without ceasing, so that you're filled with all wisdom. And then in verse 10, so that you might walk worthy of the Lord and, you know, in good work and increasing. It's almost as though there's a recipe here to follow. So we're praying, we're seeking wisdom, we're asking for his will, and then we're being fruitful.
So I'm gathering from what you're telling me is that the old temptations don't go away when you've surrendered your life to Jesus. Why is that?
I believe one could be that the fact that we're still living in a world full of sin and temptations, and practically speaking, every day of our life we're exposed and bombarded with, you know, the temptations, especially with our generation that we live in, with the media. Everywhere we go, on social media, over the internet, over television, we're exposed to temptation all the time. And I've heard a preacher put it this way. In certain countries, there's this disease called malaria. And it is carried by a mosquito. So when a person is bitten by a mosquito, then the person will have that disease, malaria. That person can be treated using medication from the doctors, right? But after the person is healed, the person cannot simply say, hey, I'm free from malaria forever. No, why? Because there's no lifelong vaccine or vaccination against malaria. As soon as the mosquito bites you again, then you have the same disease. So what can you do? Protect yourself from the mosquitoes by cleaning your area, your surrounding, or applying, you know, medication or whatever you can do to protect yourself. So in the same way, just because we have been saved by Jesus, we cannot simply say, hey, I am free, I can no longer go back to sin. No, we have to constantly submit ourselves to God, surrender that way to, you know, win over the temptations.
And make that choice, because temptation, let's be clear on that, that is not sin,
no.
Right? Because Jesus was tempted, and we're going to talk about that, but without sin, right?
Sure. I think it's also important, Stephanie, he's writing to the saints in Christ. So that recipe or the way to live is not to try to save yourself.
Right.
You know, and it's in the Spirit or by the Spirit. That's what we're studying about today. So it's so easy for us. One of the ways we go back is not to bad things, but to faulty thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got to try to do all of this. And we take our eyes off Jesus, mm-hmm. who the Bible says is the author and perfecter of our faith.
Amen.
So he's writing to saints in there, right? I mean, that yes. he believes they're in Christ. But if they take their eyes off, I was in an airport one time. The children were running on the people mover, you know, but they were going the wrong way. Well, if you stop moving, you go backwards. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like life.
Exactly.
You know, unless you're moving forward in the Spirit, I don't think there's a static Christian position. No. If we stop moving forward in the Spirit, we go backwards.
So we have to keep our eyes on Christ, right?
And keep moving in the Spirit.
And keep moving in the Spirit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right, very good. So how many of you have felt that temptation maybe increased after you gave your life to Christ? Or maybe you haven't felt that way? Jonathan.
I think temptation increases each time you try to say to God, like, Lord, I want your ways. I want your truth. And you learn something new and it's like, oh. And so there's always this challenge, like, are we going to choose God's ways or not? So, I mean, I think it's the very nature of making a change in life is everything else around you kind of conspires to pull you away from it.
Yes.
And I'm not that great at sports, so offense and defense, I get confused sometimes. But it seems that when we turn our focus to Christ and we desire to, you know, we ask for his Spirit to be in our life, the enemy then goes on the... Uh-huh. Offense. Like on the attack, basically, and highlights the former things that basically literally is in our flesh. And we talked about in an earlier lesson that about the way that we're made up physiologically. If we feed that pathway, it's going to get stronger. So the devil tries to bombard us now to try to keep feeding that one. And so, you know, that's where that you start feeling like that temptation is all around you. And you have to even more so stay focused.
So there is a great controversy, isn't there?
Absolutely.
Let's look at the next few verses in Galatians chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 17 through 21. And Marianella, would you read that for us? Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. We're taking a look at this controversy.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish, ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Wow. I think that covers pretty much everything, right? We're seeing the works of the flesh there. And we also note in verse 17 that the Spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other. Let's go over to Romans chapter 7 and look at verses 14 through 24. And Andre, if you would read that for us, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24.
Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Thankfully, we don't stop our study there. Are you with me?
Right.
Because there is a struggle going on, right? So how would you counsel someone who is struggling to be freed from the works of the flesh? Andre wants to say something, and then Derek.
Well, let Derek go first. Okay.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, we all know we may stumble. But it says people who practice this. I think we need to be very careful, you know, if we say, well, if you sinned, you might as well just give up on Jesus. Jesus died to save sinners.
Amen. Amen.
And the Bible says if we confess our sin, we're not making an excuse. But in fact, it says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, you know. So there are going to come times, for whatever reason, the stress of the day or some challenging situation, I may speak an unkind word or I may act in a way that is not appropriate. But that's not my regular practice. Now, I'm not saying I should excuse that. I should run to Jesus and say, please fill me with your spirit and live in me. But I think what he's addressing here is people who are just allowing that sinful nature to
control them.
To control them, yeah. And it could happen if you just stay on the people mover going backwards, you're going to go backwards with it.
That's right. Andre.
Well, you know, in verse 23, something stood out here to me. It said, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And then it goes on from there. And I remember, you know, paraphrasing the Bible where it says, by beholding, we become changed. Mm. Now, that's a biblical principle, talking of Christ when he returns, etc. But the devil knows this as well. And so he ever places before us the things that the temptations we talk about. So there's this very prominent movie maker in Hollywood. I don't want to call the name, but he was on a talk show where he revealed that he was molested as a child by both men and women. And so he said he now struggles with homosexuality. And he said, but I don't want to live that lifestyle. And so, but he said, but my body betrays me. And when I see this, it's very clear. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. He does, in his mind, he doesn't want to go down that path, but his body responds to the stimulus because as a child, that's the first stimulus he was given. And so his body responds to it, when his flesh responds to it, even when his mind wants to go counter to it. And so how can we overcome that? As Derek said, Pastor Derek said, by beholding, we become changed. We have to begin to feed in another direction.
Amen. That's right. So what kind of counsel would you give to someone who is struggling to find that freedom from the works of the flesh? I'll give you a verse. Are you ready? Romans chapter 8, and we'll do verses 1 through 4. And Jamie, would you read that for us? Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And see what the Bible says can provide freedom.
The New Living Translation advises, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses wasn't able to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in the body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit.
So what is the answer? Surrender. Go ahead, Jonathan.
No, I think this is good because there's a lot in there. And I think it's kind of a progression that really starts with and ends with the good things. I mean, I hear it saying that you start with the foundation that there is no condemnation, that God's not here to condemn you. God wants to give you forgiveness, and that's the kind of the starting point for being able to turn our lives around, is to realize that, accept that, and then to go on from there to say, to realize, yes, it may be tempting to now you have to be good and all these things of your own works, but that's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. We're all tempted to. We all attempt it. It doesn't work. And so now instead we have to say, okay, it is Christ who came and lived out that law and offers it to us as a gift. And we identify by faith and allow this new birth that he, this new reality, this Holy Spirit, for him to plant that in us by faith. And
so that's the new creation, right?
Yeah.
Walking by the Spirit, being created from the inside out. Incidentally, what does that lead us to believe? If we're a new creation,
a creator's at work.
There's a creator that's at work.
And that's so important, because it's so easy to go back and think about what I should be doing instead of saying, I need to keep focused on Jesus. The language that you shared from Romans about no condemnation and the new life reminded me of when Jesus said to the woman cast at his feet, no condemnation,
go and sin no more.
Exactly.
But she's going now with a living relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
So it's totally different.
Freedom. That's true freedom, isn't it?
Amen.
Lourdes.
I believe it's so important to know what the character of God. Growing up, I, as a little girl, I used to have the picture of God being a punisher. Like, if you behave bad, he will punish you. So I will try my best to be a good girl. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if I did something bad, I will be afraid that God will punish me. Mm-hmm. But getting to know God more now, I realize he's a loving God. Yeah, he hates sin, but he loves me.
Amen.
And having the right picture allows me to, yes, I'm sick. I need help. But you'll, just the same way you'll go to the doctor to heal you, I will go to him just the way I am, because I don't want to do the bad things that my flesh or the things that my body wants to do, but I can come to him the way I am. Mm-hmm. But having the right picture of God, that he doesn't hate me, he doesn't want to hurt me because I'm a bad girl, but he loves me, he wants the best thing for me, and I can come to him. And
Amen.
Just having the right picture helps so much, yeah.
The relationship. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. As we look to our next question, I want to ask this, and I know that we've kind of covered this already, but how would you respond to someone who says if you completely surrendered to Christ, you wouldn't experience any desire for the lust of the works of the flesh? Can you give me one biblical character? Just one. And this is one that we all know. How about Jesus?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Jesus? Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 3:16. I was hoping you would agree with me. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Nicole, if you would read that for us when you get there. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16.
Okay. Matthew 3:16 from the New International Version says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him.
All right. So was the Spirit, Holy Spirit, on in Christ?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yes. It was. It writes, because the Greek in John 1:32, it talks about abode. That means to stay, to remain. And that's talking about the same experience. We don't have a chance to go through the entire next 10 verses in Matthew 4, but do you know what's in those verses?
Yes. Jesus was tempted.
Jesus was tempted. Can you tell us just a synopsis of what's happening there?
Well, according to the description that Matthew gave, Jesus was led by the Spirit to the wilderness, mm-hmm. and the devil came and tempted him, offering him different temptations. But Jesus defeated them, all the temptation, by saying, it is written, it is written. So by using the Word of God as his weapon, Jesus won the war, the battle.
Is that something that we can use?
Yes. Yes.
Why
yes.
do we listen to scripture songs and put the Word of God in our minds? right?
Yes.
So let me ask you this. When we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, we'll turn back over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And let's see. Jonathan, would you read that for us?
All right. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there.
So what do we see in this passage? We see, contrary to the works of the flesh, we see the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to come back to that. But the last verse that was read intrigues me. It says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Why is it important to crucify the flesh? Why do you think?
That's how we're going to get the Spirit of God too. You know, Jesus Christ, he was crucified for our sins. And so now we can come to him and ask him to help us. We can bring our sins to him, and they can be crucified at the cross, and he can give us victory over that and
Go
give
ahead.
Us the fruit of the Spirit.
I just had an amazing thought. I mean, maybe everybody else knew it, but the way to deal with darkness in your life is not to try to get the darkness out of your life. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us
Thank
a
you.
Little bit more about that?
The way to deal with that. Darkness in your life is to invite the light of the world into your life. And I think the evil, darkness, sin perishes in the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
And I know people have tried and tried, and they come with tears and they say, I've tried to get this darkness out of my life. And you can't do that.
That's right.
But when you invite the light of the world into your life,
what happens?
Yeah, I think those things are just, they disintegrate.
They do.
It's not my battle. Mm. You know, it's like, Jesus, I can't fight this battle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what, like Lourdes was saying, but if I allow Jesus to fight the battle, well, the victory's already won. Satan's already defeated.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Somehow we need to remind him that he's defeated, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we talk to him. We talk to Jesus.
So like, we remind him.
Satan tempts us and we say, listen, you talk to Jesus.
That's right.
Because I'm going to stay with Jesus.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. You know, Andre.
In and of ourselves, fighting darkness is above our pay grade. You know,
yeah.
We're no good at it. And when you look at Ezekiel 28, I believe it is, where it talks about Lucifer trying to place his throne above the Most High, and iniquity was found in him, you start realizing that that created a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. In Lucifer's life. And so when we took a hold of Eve and Adam, they ate from the tree, that downward spiral began because we tried to take a hold of a power that was not ours to control. Mm. And so I love what you said. Let go, ask, invite the light into your life, and that will eradicate the darkness.
And the light is a person.
Yeah.
You know, because New Agers could say, oh, yeah. The light in
here. Right.
And that could be evil forces.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
I'm asking Jesus, the light of the world, to come
Amen.
In.
Yes.
And that's the other thing. I'm not just trying to get darkness out and keep it empty, because I know that's very dangerous.
Mm. Exactly.
But I can't even get the darkness out without the light of the world coming.
And infiltrating our lives.
Filling me.
Yes.
By his Spirit.
That's right. Puya. And then we'll go to Joy.
The question was, why is it necessary to crucify the flesh? I think one of the answers could be, we need to make that decision. Mm-hmm. We need to make decision, make a stand, you know, make a stand every day. And in relation to the previous verse that we read about Jesus, I think we can also tie into this, saying that baptism is also a form of making that decision to crucify the flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, to say that I have made the decision, I have made the stand to submit myself to God and to crucify my flesh to the cross as Jesus died. And then when I'm baptized into the water, just like Jesus died on the cross, and then Jesus rose again, I'm risen from the water, from my old life of sin that I have crucified, with a new life now. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to make that decision to choose to follow Jesus.
Amen. And Puya, you're thinking about Romans chapter 6, right? Isn't that a beautiful chapter?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you have a chance to study that, I encourage you to do that. Joy, you had a comment before we move on.
I was thinking of a time when I was younger and I went camping. And it was also dark. And I'm afraid of the dark. And there's only one way for you to be able to see. You have to have a light. There's literally only one way. If not, you don't see anything. And so if Christ is in your life, he lights up your life. He's illumination. He's the one that sheds light on the things that need to be fixed in the areas that you need challenge and things that need to where you need to mature. And so, Derek, yes, you're right. You can't leave it vacant. You have to fill it with Jesus.
And that's where Puya's saying about the choice. Yes. It is the choice, but it's not the choice to fight the battle.
Right.
We've tried that.
It's the choice
to invite Jesus to be Lord of all.
Yes.
Amen. And in James, it says to surrender your life, and then the devil flees, essentially. Yes. So we were looking at Galatians chapter 5, and we looked at 22 to 24, right? Verses 22 to 24. And there was a list of the fruit of the Spirit. Is there a fruit, a specific aspect in that list that you feel the most need for in your own life?
Is there a multiple choice, all of the above?
Sure. You can. Sean.
Yeah, there's no one thing, and that's, you know, why it talks about the fruit, because just as how fruits have nutrients, you know, it's a full package that comes along with it. So which one do I need? I just need the fruit. I'll get all the nutrients as it grows up and matures into, you know, the right characteristics.
Amen.
Sean made me think of the island where I was conceived, Jamaica. There's certain times of the year when certain fruits are in abundance, like mango. There's a mango season. And I don't know how many of you love mangoes, but I do.
All right.
And during that season, that's pretty much the only fruit I eat. And because, you know, our bodies will crave certain things, certain nutrients and et cetera. So it's like, there may be certain, and maybe there's some people don't like this word, but certain seasons in our lives where certain fruit of the Spirit is in abundance, and maybe even God is trying to bring us closer into alignment with that fruit of the Spirit. I don't know, but that's just a thought they're looking at, you know, and that same concept.
You know, I've always wondered about the fruit of the Spirit rather than fruits, because there's nine listed, and I think, how dangerous it would be to say, well, I want to be loving, but I don't want to be patient. Or I want to have joy, but I don't want self-control. This fruit salad, this fruit comes when the Spirit comes. So I don't choose, well, I'll take patience, but I'm really not interested in, you know, self-control or gentleness. And I think Andre's right that the Spirit knows the particular deficits. I think we probably need them all, but we may need some more at a certain season, like you said, than others.
Agree. Yes.
And the season could sadly be all in one day. It just depends on what's happening. If I'm hungry, I need patience. If the children are slow, I need peace to get them out the house to school on time. Sure. So it's a holistic thing that the Lord is giving us, and he wants us to become his children and to live with him and have that complete relationship with him.
Amen. Juliana.
I was going to say, it's interesting how nature gives us visual examples. I think of oranges. I think of pomegranate. There's many different fruits that are a fruit with several parts. That you can look at an orange and you have the different slices, but they make the one fruit. Pomegranate was actually used as a symbol in the Old Testament to represent the oneness with the diversity because of all of the different little pieces inside the pomegranate. So it's interesting how there's lessons in nature for us just even about this.
So I have to tell you that my answer to that question was really love. Can I tell you why?
Yeah. Sure.
Because I don't think that I love people like Christ does. He gave his life for everyone. I don't have that. And so as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, it is kind of listed as first. So maybe we should dig a little deeper in that. I'd like us to take a look at just two verses in John chapter 13. And then we'll go on and discover what it, how do we reveal the fruit of the Spirit. So John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And Gary, are you there? Would you be able to read that for us?
Okay. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Wow. Is that a tall calling or a high calling? It is, isn't
it? Or a promise.
It is a promise. Go ahead.
Well, no, it's like if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yes.
Once I have that relationship with Jesus, all the things he asked me to do are a promise, right?
Yes. That's right.
From my human perspective, I go, with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Did I see a hand?
Yeah, well, when I look at the fruit of the Spirit, I've come to recognize them as supernatural powers. Mm. As we talk about Christ doing these things in us when we surrender ourselves, without him, without his Spirit, we cannot do these. Mm. But when we allow him into our lives, then these, I dare say that we start to realize that in him, these things are not difficult to do. Mm. And, wow. Christ tells us that we must be like little children in order to enter the kingdom. And God made love so simple that even a child can master it.
Amen.
Mm. But the older we get, we seem to lose the mastery. So we definitely need the supernatural power to become like children again and love one another.
Mm. Let me ask you this, Andre. Mm-hmm. Is it because little children trust so much and somehow our trust is on what we see and what we feel and not on trusting the Word of God?
Absolutely. I believe that.
Could it be that?
We walk by faith and not by sight, but as we get older, we start walking by sight, and therefore fear and all these other things take, and hate, and all these, and we start dealing with the lust of the flesh. Those things start seeping in and taking over. And like, for instance, love is a universal language. Joy is a universal language. Mm-hmm. Peace is a universal language. If you speak Russian and I speak Chinese, if I'm patient with you, we don't have to say a word. You get it.
So let's find out how we produce this fruit.
I just say one thing, if
Go
I
ahead.
May. And I know you don't have to speak Greek or Hebrew to understand all of the Bible, but this is the word agape love.
Yes.
And that's the love that says God so loved the world. Mm. This is that this special kind of love when it speaks about God is love.
Yes.
So I think there is love in the world, which is genuine affection. Mm-hmm. The Bible talks about that phileo, or that filial love, right? But the agape love is a gift
Amen.
From God. Yes. God's love is poured into our hearts, Romans
yes.
5:5. So I want to come back to it's supernatural.
Yeah. It is.
I can be kind of loving to my family, but not the kind of love that God Amen. Wants. Mm-hmm. That's supernatural.
It is.
Yeah.
John chapter 15, one of my favorite verses. And Juliana, would you be able to read for us verses 1 through 8 and then 16?
Sure. And I am reading from the New King James Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If anyone does not... Oh, wait, excuse me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned.
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you.
All right, so what is the key here? And I think we've been talking about it, haven't we? Go ahead, Jonathan.
It just strikes me. I mean, last lesson we talked about freedom, and one that struck me was just how when we have this experience, when we have the trust and we take this promise that God can come and give us freedom from self, freedom from this desire to, this inability to step out and to live the life of love. I mean, that God can give us this to us. So to me, it's this amazing promise that it's not about me. It is that God can come and can give me this new life and have his love in me.
Poya.
I think the key word is abide. Right.
Yes.
That relationship, that constant daily relationship with God, as long as we abide in Jesus, we will bear the fruit. Not because we can by ourselves, but because Jesus and the Holy Spirit lives in us, we will bear the fruit.
Beautiful. Thank
Stephanie,
you.
I just wanted to say, if someone is listening to this and they haven't had an experience with Christ and they haven't chosen to accept Christ and let Christ live in them, the beautiful thing about the last verse we read, it says in John 15:16, says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. So if somebody is listening right now and they feel like they've never had that experience, I like to make that personal invitation for the person to know that Jesus chose them. Jesus chooses us individually, wherever we are in our lives, and he's going to, because he first loved us, and then may you open up your heart and accept him and let him bear that fruit.
God has a plan for each person's
Absolutely.
Life, doesn't he? He does.
You know, that word, I mean, this is a kind of a gardening image, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a branch being grafted in. It's literally not saying just know Jesus or
know about him,
be near him. It's saying allow the life of Jesus to flow through you. That's a radical thought.
Yes, it is.
That's surrender. That's a choice. But then just like allowing the light in dispels the darkness, the life of Jesus flows through us. That's living by the Spirit. It's a very intimate picture, and it's not something that I manage. You know, like, well, I'll let you go here, Jesus, but not here. It's a total surrender to let the life of Jesus flow through me.
And that is a miracle.
It is a miracle.
Yes, I have several hands. This is great. Go ahead, Joy.
Yeah, and for the person who, there are some people who have had the experience, but there are some people who have to have that experience despite what has happened to them, or in spite of what has happened. And God is saying that in spite of what has happened, I choose you.
Yes.
You know, so that because sometimes loving is challenging, depending on who you're being called to love. Sometimes having peace beyond the understanding is difficult because you really don't understand why certain things have happened. And yet still God is saying, I have chosen you despite what has happened. And I call you to bear fruit, this same fruit. You can by faith through Christ.
It is the victory that we have in Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
To overcome those past experiences and our own past life.
Shortcomings.
Right. And again, a choice. We make that choice. Let's go to the last few verses that we'll look at in our study today. Galatians chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 16 again. That's where we started our study. And also verses 25 and 26. And Gary, do you have that? Would you read that for us?
Sure. Galatians 5, verse 16.
Yes.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. and verses 25 and 26. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another.
All right, so this is present tense, right? And it's admonishing us not to be conceited. Why, or should I say, why should we not become conceited when we're walking in the Spirit? We read it. Remember John chapter 15, verse 4, why? Can you tell me?
It's not about us. It's about abiding in Him.
It's about abiding in Jesus, right?
And I'm thinking of the song. It says, Christ, I no longer live. Mm-hmm. Christ lives in me. So if anybody gets glory, it's the Savior.
Yes.
That He did the impossible in a frail person like me.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Sean.
No, I was just going to say, you know, there's a certain aspect of being conceited, and we're talking about the plant and abiding in Christ. You don't necessarily see the leaves of a plant turning to one another going, oh, I'm better than you or whatever. Because, I mean, it sounds silly, but they're not doing that.
That's true.
Because all the leaves are turning to the light. So the moment you're not facing the light, the moment you're not grafted in and trying to absorb all that God's giving you, then, you know, you're a dead branch at that point in time. But thank God that He does all of this for us. He shows us how to turn to Him and how to accept His light and His word and how to abide in Him.
Thank you. One last comment. Yeah. Go ahead,
Well, I'm
Andre.
Seeing three other words here built into these three. Let us not become conceited. So that's like do not become proud. Provoking one another, that's like judging one another, and envying one another, being jealous of one another. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's warning us, all of this is through Christ, in Christ. And when we look at our life and we realize that it doesn't happen automatically for all, you know, maybe somebody in one day they turn from their ways, but other people struggle. And I heard this term where they took the word habit and they said, if you take away the letter H, you still have a bit. If you take away the A, you still have bit. If you take away the B, you still have it. But if you take away the I, you have a T, and it resembles the cross of Christ. And we always remember, no matter what we're struggling through, we must turn to Him.
So that freedom that we have in Christ allows us to walk by the Spirit. What a blessing. Thank you for studying.
And thanks so much for joining us in our study today. Our time is gone, but I just want to pray we'll not only know about living by the Spirit, but actually live by the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for challenging us today. Thank you that all of your word to us is a promise in Christ. May we accept all that you offer us because of your great love for us. Say yes to you and live by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. Such a journey. Not to bring attention to ourselves, but to bring honor to Jesus, our Savior. Go out and live by the Spirit. Be a blessing to those around you.